Okay, I want to thank everyone very, very much for coming. Thank you, Almog, for teaching yesterday. And may our learning be a merit. Le'ilui nishmas, me'ira chai, nechama bracha, le'a shalom, bas David Mordechai. We're learning Maseches Nida. Today's daf is daf ches in Maseches Nida. Eli tells me we got to the Mishnah, on the end of the Mishnah. Got to the Gemara on Zion. Okay, that's good, because we're going to move off a little bit from the topics of Nida, so that'll be hopefully exciting for everyone to see Yevamos a little bit and some other topics as well. Okay, so in the Mishnah we had a big argument about the topic that we've been dealing with all along called Daya Shata, enough for her is her moment, and that is that if a woman finds blood, a woman sees blood, do we now say, oh, if there's blood now, maybe there was there before, and therefore let's look at whatever she touched in the last 24 hours and make it suffik tameh, possibly impure? Or do we say, no, the blood is now. It's before, everything was good. And from now on, there's a problem. So Rabbi Elazar says in the Mishnah, there are four women that are dayan shaita. A woman who's pregnant, a woman who's nursing, a woman who's postmenopause, a woman who this is her first time having blood. These are all women that were mesulakot tamim, that we assumed that their blood was gone. Never seen blood before. However, Rabbi Yeshua says the other women, namely the women who is uberet, meinika, zakena, for them also we would say that they are mitam in me'et le'et, that they, if there's blood, that means there's impurity retroactively for the last 24 hours. So the Gemara is going to discuss who's right. Right, the Mishnah said, Aval halacha k'Rav Elazar. That's the first line here on Zayin Amud Bet. The Mishnah said, law is like Rav Elazar. It's four women that we say there's no retroactive impurity. The impurity is only going forward. And that will lead us into a discussion, where else is Rav Elazar, right? Because we know Rav Elazar shamutihu. Rav Elazar was put into excommunication. So normally we don't rule like him, but where, in fact, do we? That's the topic. All right, time to Braisa. Starting with the Gemara, Zayin Amud Beis. Ah, this is more color in this conversation between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, whether it's four women that the impurity is only going forward, or it's only one woman that the impurity is only going forward. So we learned in a Braisa, Amalor Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. Ata lo shamati, you didn't have a tradition that it's four women. You heard it was only one. But ani shamati, I have a tradition that it was four women. Ata lo shamati la'achas, you only heard that the tradition was that there's one woman who, if she has blood, the impurity is only going forward, namely the woman who's besula. This is her first time having blood. But Anisha Nati Harbe, I heard that it was more than that. It was four. Right? If let's say yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, let's say we want to go give testimony to the court that we saw the new moon. You wouldn't tell people who didn't see the moon that they should say that they saw the moon. You know, it's, you can't rely on them. You rely on the people who saw. So you know, it's, you don't know, but I do know. So rely on me. Right, Elo Lamisha Ra'o, you only tell the person who saw it. And therefore, this is a parable Rabbi Elazar is saying. He's saying, listen, Rabbi Yeshua, you just didn't hear, but I did hear. I hear that it's four. So that's the price of further. Call Yamash Rabbi Elazar, Yosef Rabbi Yeshua. As long as Rabbi Elazar was alive, Rabbi Yeshua would still pass in his way, and people followed his way. Only one woman, when she had blood, was impure only going forward, namely the Besula. La'achar p'tu. But after Belezer passed away, he was Rabbi Yeshua said, then Rabbi Yeshua said, you know what? Halacha is really like Rabbi Elazar. He's the one who's right. It's four women that dayan shatan. Ask the Gemara, b'chai of my time alone. Why did Rabbi Yeshua not, during the lifetime of Rabbi Elazar, acknowledge Rabbi Elazar was right and say that it's four women that dayan shatan? And not only one woman, which is his opinion. Answer the Gemara, Mishum de Rabbi Elazar Shamutihu. As Rashi explains, Rabbi Elazar was put into excommunication, the famous story about the oven of the different parts in the Sechad of Metzia. He was put into excommunication. And therefore, we normally don't rule like Rabbi Elazar, the Savar, and that's where Yeshua felt. If we will act like Rabbi Elazar in regards to this law of the four women instead of one woman, then Avdin and Kavasibach Minaisa, people are going to act like him in regards to other questions of Taharos, of impurity and purity. And they're wrong, because Shamutiyu, he's in Chayrim, he's excommunicated. We don't paskin like him, we don't roll like him. But if they are going to start acting like him in these other questions, because they see we acted like him in regards to this question, we're not going to be able to protest, because since he's alive, it'll be disrespectful to protest that people are following Rabbi Elazar. We're not going to be able to protest against them. That's why he waited. After Rabbi Elazar passed away, now we can say to people, yes, the four women, their impurity is only going forward. They don't have the impurity retroactively. If people see that we're passing like Rabbi Elazar, we're ruling like Rabbi Elazar in regards to the four women, they're going to start ruling like other things Rabbi Elazar said in regards to purities. Maybe they're going to say that this oven with the movable parts is pure, like Rabbi Elazar thought. It's okay. It's okay. We can say that, because if they say that, we'll stop them. We'll protest against what they're doing. And we don't have to worry about protest because Rabbi Elazar's not here. And if he's not here, it's not an insult to him that we protest that people are following his points of view. So therefore, one second, just to finish the line. After Belezer passed away, that we can protest against them. They're going to follow Belezer in regards to other issues. He also said, we're able to bring the matter back to the ruling that it's four women who have the rule of Daya Shatan and not only one. Yes, a question, Baruch.
Why did they excommunicate the Rabbi Elazar?
Because he wasn't accepting the ruling of the sages about the oven of the movable parts.
There was they all had different opinions, so his opinion they accepted. Was different.
Yeah, but they accepted the final votes.
So they impeached him, Rabbi?
It was worse than impeachment. They excommunicated him. They said no one could sit within his four amos. No one could talk to him. And he stayed in excommunication till he died. That was the Gemara and Bava Metzia. Very painful. Very painful, yes. Yes. Okay. So now we move off of Nida for a little bit. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. A principle. Halacha Rabbi Elazar be'arba. There are four situations in Shas, four topics that halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. Chada damar. When is this point? It's not one woman that dies yashata. Four women die on shata. All right. Next, idach. There is a law that there is 11 days during the month that are called days of ziva. If in these days a woman has 3 days of bleeding in a row, then she becomes a Zava Gadola. She needs 7 clean days before she can go to the mikveh. If she has during these days 1 day of bleeding, she needs 1 full day of waiting, of being clean, and then she can go to the mikveh. Now, this law is only bleeding of 3 days in a row during a particular period of the month, during the 11 days that are Ziva days, days that she can become a Zava. One of the laws of Ziva is that the bleeding has to come from Ziva. If the bleeding is coming for some other reason, let's say she's jumping and that's why the bleeding is coming, or the bleeding is coming because she's giving birth, and in her childbirth there's all sorts of pains and cramps, and the cramps are causing blood to come out, that blood, even though it's at the time of Ziva, doesn't have the status of Ziva blood. So what happens if a woman is pregnant and she starts to have contractions and pain? So you say, she's giving birth, and she starts bleeding during the Ziva days. You figure, okay, this is bleeding because of birth. But then the contractions stop. So if the contractions stop, then you know that the contractions are not the contractions of birth because they stopped. So now you go back and you say, the blood is Ziva blood. And now she will become a Zava because she's bleeding during the Ziva days. Even though she's pregnant. So how long does this stop have to be? So that's the next issue where we pass on Rabbi Elazar. Hamakasha, a woman who is having difficulty in labor. Hamatish, and she had blood during the difficulty times. And it's during the month, parts of the month, and it's Ziva days. Kama Tishbe, how much should she have a break? It's a Hey Zava, and we'll say that blood was not birth blood, but rather Ziva blood. Me'es le'es, if she has a break of the contractions for 24 hours, the Rabbi Elazar, that's the Rabbi Elazar. So there too, halacha kedvarav, halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. Issue number 3, the Idach. What's the third issue that halacha is like Rabbi Elazar? When you have a Zav or a Zava, so for them to become pure, they need to have 7 clean days. 7 days in a row where they check themselves twice during each day, and they find that they are clean. What happens if somebody didn't check themselves for 7 clean days? They only check themselves on day 1 and on day 7. So that's the next issue. Hazava, Zava, a Zava or a Zava. Shabbat Kuatz Ben Yom Rishon, they checked themselves on the first day, Umatutar, and they were clean. Yom Shvi, then they check themselves on the 7th day, Umatzutar, and they're clean. Ushar Yom Lo Batku, but the days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, they didn't check. So what's the law? Rabbi Elazar says, that's already enough. Day 1 and day 7 is enough. Since on day one she checked and found herself clean, there's a pre-existing status of being clean. We assume that pre-existing status stayed. Day seven she checked and she's still clean. Fine. So therefore she can go to the mikvah. However, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that's not seven clean days. That's two clean days. Those were two clean days. Day one and day seven. She needs to wait another 5 days to get to go to the mikvah. Rabbi Akiva says, no. If you're worried that something happened in the days between day one and day seven, we're not going to say that there are two clean days. We're going to say that what you have here is one clean day. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein lehen ela yom shvi bilvad. If she only checked herself on day one and on day seven, she only has day seven. She needs to have another six clean days. It's time to do the brisa. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi Omerim. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi said, near and Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar seems more reasonable than Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, she checked herself on day one and day seven. Wait another 5 days. That doesn't make sense. If you say day one doesn't work because there was blood after day one, then that's it. She needs to have another 6 days, not another 5 days. So Rabbi Elazar is more reasonable than Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, if she checked on day one, she checked on day seven, that's it. So we assume that she's clean. We have no reason to think otherwise. So she's clean entirely. That's more reasonable than Rabbi Yeshua. However, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Kulan. Rabbi Akiva's point is the most reasonable. We're talking about Taharos. We want to be strict. We should say, no, she only checked herself on day one and day seven. So that's it. She only has 1 day. She needs another 6 days. Aval, however, here too, this is the third case where Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer. Halacha's like Rabbi Eliezer. She checks herself on day one and on day seven. That's enough. And it's considered 7 clean days. What's the Edoch? What's the fourth case? It's not related to Mishnah. Achorei kelim shenitmu b'mashkin. Let's say you have a utensil where the back of the utensil could itself be a utensil, right? Let's say this cup, it has on the very back only a little thing. But let's say the back was deeper, right? Then you could use the back as a cup. You could flip it over and use the back as a cup. So those are called achorei kelim. So achorei kelim midrabana on the backs of cups that also could be used as cups. So they can be considered a separate utensil. If they became tame with a liquid which was a rishon l'tumah touched them, they became tame. Rebbe Lezer says when these backs of utensils are tame, mitamei samashkin, they can now touch a liquid which is pure and make it impure. But ain't posan asa ochlin. But if they touch food, they're not going to make the food disqualified.
Rabbi, it's the minimum amount for a utensil to contain.
Yes, yeah, it would have to be usable, yeah. Now, mitamei samashkin, they could disqualify liquids. They can make liquids of tamei. V'afilu d'chulin, even liquids that are chulin. They ain't posan asa ochlin, but the backs of utensils that became tamei through liquids cannot harm foods. V'afilu d'chuma, even foods of chuma.
And that's obvious.
This is the view of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yeshua says, mitamei samashkin, nope, the same way they can make liquids tamei, postness, they make a liquid into a rishon, postness a ochlin, they can disqualify foods. Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Yeshua, to Rabbi Elazar, kal v'chomer, based on a kal v'chomer, I'm right. Umat v'yom, if you have a person who has tamei, went to the mikvah, he's waiting for the sun to set, who has a status of a sheni l'tumah, he has a status of a second degree of tumah, shem etami mashke chulin, if he touches liquids that are chulin, nothing happens to them. Nevertheless, postal ochle chuma, if he touches food which is chuma, that's it, it becomes a shlishi and you can't eat it anymore. Achore kelim, when you have the back of a utensil, which itself could be a cup. Shemitami mashke chulin, if it touches a liquid, it makes the liquid into a rishon. Because we know that even if a sheni touches a liquid, midrabanan, the liquid becomes a rishon. Eino din shepostal ochle chuma, so certainly it should disqualify food of chuma. Nevertheless, we'll tell you this whole difference. When you talk about the impurity of the rear of a utensil, this is only a rabbinic impurity, this whole thing. When a guy was tum and he went to the mikvah and he's waiting for the sun to set, that's the horaisa, that's a biblical status. You can't say, well, a kavachomer from the biblical to the rabbinic. Right? There's no kavachomer there. Midoraisa. Ain't ochem atame kli. Neither a raisa, food is not going to make a utensil tame, because a food is only going to be a rishon can't make kalim tame. Vei mashkem atame kli, and a liquid also can't make a utensil tame. Rabbanu hu d'gazu gzeira, v'shem mashkem d'zav v'zav. The Rabbanu made a decree. They said, let's say you have a zav and he spits. So his spit is an av. So the av that will go on a utensil can make the utensil tummy. So because there are certain liquids from a zav which are an av, therefore all liquids that are tummy which go on utensils make the utensils tummy. That's a rabbinic decree. So where did they make their decree? Mashkin da'alun l'kabel tumah gazu b'rabbanan. They made their decree in liquids, because liquids can become tummy easily, because they're already mukhshar, they're already prepared, they're already rinsed. Ochlem, when you deal with foods, da'alun l'kabel tumah, foods are not so easy to make them tummy. L'gazu b'rabbanan. The other rabbis didn't make the decree. Ask the Gemara, umay shna achore kelem d'naka? Why did it talk of the rear of utensils? Why didn't it say, have this argument about, you know, the inside of a utensil that becomes tummy with a liquid, whether the inside of the utensil can ruin food of truma? Answer the Gemara, Mishum Dekili. Because in regards to the insides of utensils, then Rabbi Eliezer would agree to Rabbi Yeshua that the insides that became tummy with a liquid would make truma food disqualified. It's not because we lived in a Mishnah, but the outside of utensils, that's only where Rabbi Eliezer said his law, because there it's more lenient. We learned in the Mishnah in Chagiga, if you have a utensil and it's outside, right, the rear of it becomes tame through a liquid, only the outside is tame, but toho, the inside, the ozno, the handle, ogno, the rim, yadav, the long handle, tohorin are all tahar, but nitma toho, but if the inside became tame with a liquid, kulo tame, all those other parts also become tame. So you see that there is a stringency to the tumah that happens inside versus the tumah that happens to the outside of the utensil. So when did Rabbi Eliezer say that a utensil that became tame from a liquid cannot ruin foods of truma? That's only in this light tumah drabanan of the outside, but the stricter tumah drabanan, when the liquid goes to the inside of a utensil, which makes the entirety of the utensil tame, there he would agree with Rabbi Yeshua that this rabbinic tumah applies not only to liquids, but even to foods of truma. So, okay, this was the bottom line. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, four cases where halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. The four women die on shaitan. The woman who's during her days of ziva having contractions and blood, and then it stops. How long does it stop for it to now turn that blood into ziva blood and not birthing blood? Then the question of Rebbe Lezer's view about Zayin Nekiyim, that it just checking day one and day seven can also count as seven complete clean days. And finally, the view of Rebbe Lezer that when you have the Tumah D'Rabbanan of Achore Kelim, that the rear of a utensil became Tameh through a liquid touching it, so it's a light level of Tumah. Since it's a light level of Tumah, it can only ruin liquids, but it can't ruin foods of Truma. In all these four cases, Halacha is like Rebbe Lezer. So the Gemara now asks, my Kamash Mon Shmuel, what's Shmuel teaching us? In all the Mishnayos, we learn already the halachas like Rabbi Lezer in these cases, right? Like in our Mishnah, the very top line of the Amud here. Aval halacha Rabbi Lezer. Halachas like Rabbi Lezer. It's what I need Shmuel for. So Gemara says, a very interesting point. V'chitim, if you're going to tell me, achori kelim kamash mandalot tznan, if you're going to tell me, no, we need Shmuel for that one case of where a liquid made the back of a utensil tame, that it only ruins truma, and doesn't truma, it only ruins truma liquid, it only ruins liquids, but not truma food. So if that's his point, because there the Mishnah didn't say that Allah is like Rabbi Eliezer, Valema, so just say that. Allah Rabbi Eliezer b'achor ha-kelem. Allah kamashma, you know what we needed Shmuel? She'ela made him halacha mipi Talmud. You don't learn the halacha from the Mishnayos. If a Mishnah says Allah is like someone, that's not the bottom line. You have to wait for the Amoraim. You have to wait for the Gemara. So the Mishnayos were finished around the year 200. The Gemara is around the year 500. That's what Shmuel's teaching you. If you have something in a Mishnah, halacha is this way, maybe not. Maybe that was what they thought in Israel at the time when they made the Mishnayos. But the real halacha is, what do they think in Bavel? What do the Amoraim think later? So that's what Shmuel is telling you. Therefore, Shmuel says, halacha is like a blessing in these four cases. Shmuel told us, that's the bottom line halacha. If we just had a Mishnah, we wouldn't have known that. So now the Gemara goes into other areas of Shas, Vesulek. Are there no other areas where halacha is like a blessing? Vayika, what about the following in regards to Yibum? It's not, we look at the Mishnah of Elazar Omer, Elazar says the following. You have two brothers. The one who was married to the adult sister died without children. So now, through Zika, his widow is attached to his brother. Yeah. And his brother, though, has a problem, because his brother has a rabbinic marriage with this woman's sister. So what do we do? We tell this sister who's a minor, do miyun. Once you do miyun retroactively, she's not married at all to the brother. So now the brother can do yibum. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel Alach Rabbi Elazar. Rav Yudah said Amar Shmuel Alach Rabbi Elazar. So it's the fifth time Alach Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says Ki Amar Shmuel Alach Rabbi Elazar ba'arba b'sidri taras. When did Shmuel say Alach Rabbi Elazar in only four cases? In issues of purity and impurity. But outside of issues of purity and impurity, issues of leveret marriage, you have more cases where Allah is like Rabbi Elazar, Abu Bashar, Azdarim, and the other sections of Mishnayos, of Halacha, Ikatuba, there are many, many cases Allah is like Rabbi Elazar. Bachanai Mustabra, this makes sense that he's only quoting Taharos, Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah in regards to Challah. We know that challah is, you know, nowadays it would be 5 pounds. If you made 5 pounds worth of flour, then it is challah. So what happens if a person makes 3 pounds worth of flour into a dough and another 2 pounds of flour into a dough? So it's not chayv in challah. However, Rabbi Elazar says, af haroda, if he made a dough of 2 pounds and another dough of 3 pounds, but he takes the breads out of the oven together, and he puts them into a single basket, the basket combines them to be considered 5 pounds, and you need to take away challah and give it to the kohen. Again, halacha like Rabbi Elazar. Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. So why didn't we quote this? Shmuel, what do you see? Why didn't we quote it? Because Shmuel's law was only in regards to taros, not in regards to other areas. The Gemara says, why is this a greater proof that halacha is like Rabbi Elazar in areas other than taharos, beyond these four cases from challah? It's the same thing as what we had before in regards to yibum. The Gemara says, no, the case of yibum wasn't so strong. Because the case of yibum has Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua also saying like Rabbi Elazar, as we have a Mishnah, that's not meant in a Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua says, if a man is married to two wives, one wife is an adult with a biblical marriage. The other wife is a minor with a rabbinic marriage. And he dies without children. So now, if one brother is going to marry his minor wife, that's only going to be a rabbinic yibum, because it was a rabbinic marriage. So that doesn't permit yet the older wife to marry, because from her point of view, it wasn't a perfect yibum, wasn't a full yibum. So therefore, what's the law? We tell this minor who went and married the brother, she should do miyun and retroactively annul the yibum and allow the older wife to stay with the other brother. So you see that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, that wasn't such a proof. We had to have the other proof of challah. Yeah, you had a question, Seth?
I was going to lose the primary topic, but in that instance, they never had relations? Just curious.
No, they could have had relations.
They had relations with her sister as a minor.
Or they married.
It could still be all retroactively annulled.
It comes a marriage when they have relations.
No. If she was married off by her brother or mother, once she does miyun, the whole thing is retroactively annulled.
What is miyun?
Miyun is a refusal, a rejection. She says, I don't want you anymore.
When she gets three married, she gets a different ketubah, and that is a virgin, right?
That's true.
It's only as a minor, though, she can do this, right?
Yeah.
So, to Seth's points, if she was an adult, then this would be correct. She would be betrothed, no?
Yeah, for sure. Now the Gemara asks, Umi Kai. Did Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua agree with Rabbi Elazar in regards to the question of miyun and yavama? The Gemara says in Yavamas we need Shmuel's both Shmuel's lessons. They're really not similar to each other. The Gemara says you're right, but the truth is yibum is not such a proof that Allah is like Rabbi Elazar outside of taros. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava kavosei. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is like him. The time we went in a brayse. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, hey, chamisha dvarim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said 5 testimonies. One man in a saktanos. In these two cases that we talk about minors, a minor who's married to the brother, a minor who is married to the deceased, who then marries a brother. In both of these cases, you teach the minors to do miyun. Another thing Rabbi Yehuda Baba said, Shemasina Seisha al pi eid echad, if a woman's husband went missing, and we only have one witness saying that he died, we can marry her off. A third thing is, Shaniskal Tarnagal Bushlaim al Sharagas HaNefesh, we once killed a chicken in Jerusalem because it killed somebody. And a fourth thing, that Yain ben Arbaim Yom, wine that's 40 days old, is already considered Yain HaMishaker. It's wine that can make people drunk, and therefore Nisnasek al Gabi HaMizbeach, it was once poured on the Mizbeach. And fifth, Al Tamid Shal Shachar Shekar Barba Shov, so you have till the fourth hour to give the Tamid Shal Shachar, not till the sixth hour. So now, Mike Tanos, why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava testify about minors? Lav, isn't it to be Chadad Rebbe Lazar v'Chadad Rebbe Eliezer? One is the law of Rebbe Lazar, and one is the law of Rebbe Eliezer. So you see that Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava holds like Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara says, "Lo, maybe not. Maybe Mike Tanos. What does he mean, minors? Tanos de Alma. Generally minors, but it's only the case of Rebbe Lazar, not the case of Rebbe Eliezer." If that's the case, Gabi Isha Nami, then he should have been saying when it regards to a woman whose husband went missing, he should have said Nashim al Piedecha. The name of Nashim Daman, we'll say it means women in the world. Ella Midachi Katani Isha. Since in regards to a woman whose husband went missing, it said a woman. Vacha Katani in regards to the Miyun issues, it said Ktanos, minors. Shmami Dafka Katani. See, it means it in particular Ktanos. So that means he's agreeing both with the case of Rebbe Lazar and the case of Rebbe Eliezer. So Shmamina, so you see that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava agrees with Rabbi Eliezer, so it wasn't such a good proof that we passed like Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. V'chach Amar, the same as Shmuel was said by another Rabbi Eliezer. This is not Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua, this is Rabbi Eliezer ben Pidas. Halacha Rabbi Eliezer be'arba'a. Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in these four cases of Taros. They ask the same questions. The Sulek, are there no other cases that we pass on Kibbalazer? Rebelezer and Pedas, are there no other cases that we pass on Kibbalazer? But now, what about the Mishnah Yevamos? Rebelezer Omer, Rebelezer says, when I'm in a Saktana Shatimayin Bo, we tell the minor who's married to the brother of the deceased that she should do Miyun so that the Yevama can marry the Yavam. I'm Rebelezer. Rebelezer said over there, too, Allah Kibbalazer, Allah Kibbalazer. But he's going to tell me, Kim Rebelezer, Allah Kibbalazer, Barba is only in Seder Taras. Abu Bashar Sidri Ika, we say the same answer we said for Shmuel, that when did Rebbe Lazar say Allah Chazak Rebbe Eliezer means in four cases, he meant four cases of Taharos. But outside of Taharos, there are other cases that Allah Chazak Rebbe Eliezer, Umi Ika. But are there really other cases where Allah, where Rebbe Lazar ben Pedas, Paschal Chazak Rebbe Eliezer? What time we have a Mishnah in regards to Shemitah? Havered, roses, kofar. What's the kofar? Some type of perfume.
Earthworm.
What's it called?
Earthwort.
Okay. Litum. Litum.
It's an aromatic.
These are all aromatic plants. Ktaf. Ktaf is a syrup. It's a sap of some sort. Yesh lem shvius. These have the status of Shemitah. To make them hefker during Shemitah. You know, to do business with them during Shemitah. They have biur. The Dmeim Shvius, money given for them, also will have holiness of Shemitah, Yeshlen Biur. Once all of these types of plants are out of the field for the animals, you have to take them out of your house. Ul Dmeim Biur, and the money paid for them also will have the status of Biur. Amar Rabbi Pedas, and Rabbi Pedas, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, said, Ma'antana Katfa Peira, who's the one who says it is, and it's not considered the branch? Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Eliezer holds it. Amar Rabbi Zera said, now from you and your father, you're saying it's only Rebbe Lezer holds that it's a fruit. You are now permitting the syrup to the world. Because you're saying, who's the one who's saying that a syrup is a fruit? Rebbe Lezer. And your father said, Allah Rebbe Lezer an arba. Allah has Rebbe Lezer in only four cases. One of those four cases was not Shemitah. Those were four cases in Taharos, not Shemitah. Now, if you're going to tell me Vim Isa, if you're going to tell me that according to Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas, when he said Allah Rebbe Elazar in four cases, that only meant in Taharos. But in other areas of law, Allah was Rebbe Elazar. So Lehmalei Rebbe Pedas should have said back to Rebbe Zera, no, I'm not passing that the syrup during Shemitah is mutter. Kiyomar Abba, Allah Rebbe Elazar. When did my father say Allah Rebbe Elazar only in four cases? That is Ba'arba in Seder Taharos. Abu Bashar Sidri, but in regards to other areas of Allah Ha'ikum, many times Allah is like Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, so you see that the fact that Pidas didn't give that answer, that according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Pidas, when he said Allah is like Rebbe Eliezer in four cases, meant only these four cases, in all of Shas. So one second, if halacha is only like the Melech in these four cases, what about Yevamos? Elakash Yahis. And I have the question, what about the case of Yevamos, where Belezer ben Pedas paskin? And in regards to Miyun, we paskin like Rebbe Elazar. No, there it wasn't paskin like Rebbe Elazar. There it was Mishum Dekoy Rebbe Elazar Kavaseh. There it was paskin like Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua. And Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua held that way. So it's paskin like Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua. The times went to the mission. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Rebbe Elazar also says, I'm in a saktana shati main bo. Sometimes we teach the minor to do miyun, to enable a yibum. But that's not the same thing. The Gemara in Yevamos says that these are two different issues of miyun. There's the miyun of when a brother before the death of his brother was married to a minor. And then there's a different miyun where a man had been married, the deceased man had been married to a minor and to an adult, women who are not related to each other. And then he dies, and his one brother marries his minor wife, and the other brother says, well, I want to marry the adult wife. So then we say, listen, you have to do miyun to enable the better yibum, the yibum d'oraisa, to occur, and not to stop it because of the yibum d'rabbanan. These are two different issues. So the answer is the same thing we said before. The reason why over here halacha is like Rebbe Eliezer is not because of Rebbe Lazar, but Rishon Dekoy Rebbe Yudim and Bava Kavosei, but because Rebbe Yudim and Bava is like Rebbe Eliezer, and we're paskening like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So now the Gemara says, right? We're talking about this Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. The earliest time for tefillin is 6:33. So let's go to, let's say, 6:20.
If minor is defined by when she's her period, or
no, younger than 12. She doesn't have, she's, her body hasn't matured yet. She doesn't have the two pubic hairs, and she's younger than 12.
At the end of the day, everyone's clock is different, right?
Yeah.
So she's pregnant?
No. That could be. It doesn't matter.
So she could be pregnant.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
She could still do Mi'ilah.
Well, so that's the whole Gemara in Yevamos, whether children are as good as signs. Banim Ariam Kisimanim. The fact that someone has children is already a sign that they're an adult. So now the Gemara asks, again, we're talking about how often do we paskin like Rebbe Eliezer? Shmuel said we only pass like him four times. We said when Shmuel said that he meant four times in Taros, but there are other times outside of Taros that we pass like him. Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas said we pass like him four times, but we see from a story of a conversation between Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas' son, Pedas, Rebbe Pedas, with Rebbe Zera, that Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas meant it only four times ever, not just only four times in Taros. So now talking further about Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas. The Suleka, there are no other cases where Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas passes like Rebbe Eliezer. But now we have a Mishnah. Rebbe Kiva, Omer, Rebbe Kiva says, where do you say the bracha of Chonin Adas? Omer bracha revias b'fnei atzma. You say it right after Atta Kadosh, and it's its own bracha. Rebbe Elazar, Omer Boda, Rebbe Elazar says you say it in Modin. That's where you say Atta Chonan Tanu on Matzah Shabbos. Omer Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas, Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas says, Halacha Kribbel Yezer, we should say Atachon Antanu in Modim. We don't do that, but that's at least what Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas used to do. So I'm Rebbe Abba said, no, again, there too, wasn't that he was passing Kribbel Yezer. Hahu, da'amah, mishum Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. That's because Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel passed him that way. The time we're going to brace, Rebbe Akiva, Omer Bracha, Rebbe Yisrof Ni'atzma. Rebbe Akiva says Atachon Antanu is its own bracha, the fourth bracha. Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel, Omer Boda, he says it during Modim. Now starting Chesem and Beis. One second. Va'akashish mi ne'etuva. Now we know Rebbe Eliezer was much older than Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. So how could you say Rebbe Eliezer is quoting Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel? So that's not what he meant. Not that we're passing Rebbe Eliezer because he's quoting Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. Al mishum dekar Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel b'shita say. He's not really passing Rebbe Eliezer. He's passing like Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. But since Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel also holds that you say Atachon Antanu in Modim, that's why he said you say Atachon Antanu in Modim. Umikai, is it really true that Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel holds this way? V'atani we learned in a brisa or Yom Kippurim, the night of Yom Kippur, Mispalel Sheva and Shmoneh Esrei, there are seven brachos. Umisvad, and then after you say the seven brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, you say Vidui. In Shachris, in the morning of Yom Kippur, Mispalel Sheva, you say again seven brachos, Umisvad, and then you say Vidui. Musa Mispalel Sheva, Umisvad, seven brachos, and you say Vidui. Mincha Mispalel Sheva, Umisvad, Ni'il Mispalel Sheva, Umisvad. Barvis, on Myriv of Yom Kippur, Mispalel Sheva, Me'ain Shmona Esrei. You again, you daven seven brachos as the Shmona Esrei. And you, This is Ma'ariv after Yom Kippur. Then you do three brachos in the beginning, three brachos at the end, and then the 12 middle brachos are all one paragraph called Havineni. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Mishum Avosayt, Mishum Avosav Omer, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says the name of his fathers. His father's one asked, you know, the Ma'ariv of Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur, has to be full 18 brachos. Why? Because you have to say Abdullah in Chon Nadas, and you can't say Abdullah in Havineni. So you see, he says, where do you say Abdullah? Chornadas, not in Modim. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Iu Am Mishum Avosav. He was quoting his fathers. They held you say Ata Chornatanu and Chornadas. The Leilos really, but he himself holds you say it in Modim. Amler Birmiler Bzeirav Atlo Tizbra. Are you not going to hold the Mantana Katva Peru Belezer? He, not the one who says that a syrup is considered a fruit. Is in fact Rabbi Eliezer. What time we went in a mission, Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer says, "Amamid bisraf arla." If a person takes the syrup of a tree, which is arla, and he uses it to turn the milk into cheese, also the cheese is prohibited because it's considered that he is getting hana, he's getting benefit from the arla. Now, if you're going to tell me that a syrup is considered a branch, so then branches don't have arla, fruits have arla. As the Gemara, filu teima rabbana. No, in that regards, even the rabbanan could agree. Ad kan lepligi rabbanan aleid Rabbi Elazar. When the rabbanan argue with Rabbi Elazar, el bekitva the gavza. When you talk about a syrup that comes from the branch, al kitva de pera module. But the syrup that comes from a fruit, they agree that that's considered a fruit. Amri Bishu, that's not as we did in the Mishnah. Amri Bishu, Bishu said, shamati beferish. I heard explicitly, shamamid besaraf ha'alin. If a person makes cheese, makes the milk into cheese with the syrup that comes from the leaves, or sarafarikarim, or the syrup that comes from roots, mutter, that cheese is permitted. But the sarafapagim, but if he makes the cheese into cheese with the syrup from the young figs, usser, then the cheese is not allowed. Neshupri, because that's considered a fruit. So you see that there's a difference between the syrup of branches and the syrup of fruits. So by the same of Trinity, I can give you another answer. Maybe that Mishnah and Arla is talking about the syrup of the branches, but Kipli Garban Ledger Belezer, when did the rabbis disagree with Belezer and they hold that the syrup is not a fruit? Bilan Osa Peros, if the tree makes fruits, so then they say that the syrup is not considered a fruit. Avo Bilan Chain Osa Peros, but if you have a tree that's fruit, Modu de Katvi Zeo Peros, then they would agree that the syrup is considered a fruit. The time is within the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Liktaf Shvius, syrups do not have the status of Shemitah. However, Chacham Omrim Yesh L'Ktav Shvius. The syrup of a tree does have the holiness of Shemitah. Mipnei Shekatvo Zehu Piryo. Because the syrup is the fruit. Aman Chacham. So who's the Chacham here? Lav Rabban and the Pligalator Rebbe Lezer. Presumably, it's the rabbis who argue with Rebbe Lezer. And they're saying that the syrup is considered a fruit because this is a tree that doesn't have any other fruit. So therefore, here the Rabbanan would agree to Belezer that a tree that doesn't produce fruits, its syrup, its sweet syrup, is considered a fruit. Amaleahu Sava, there was this old man, etc. Bzeira, Hachem Rabbi Yochanan said, Man Chachamim, no, who are those Chachamim? It's Rabbi Belezer, the Amar Katfo Zeo Piryu, who says that a syrup is a fruit, but according to the other Chachamim, all syrups are not fruits. Ask the Gemara, you Rabbi Belezer, so my ear, you're Ilan Shein Osa Piryu. I feel Ilanosa Perikotvizo Perio. So if it's Rabbi Elazar, why does he only talk about a tree that doesn't make fruits? Even a tree that makes fruits, the syrup is a fruit. You're right. Devram de Rabbanan Karmelu. He's talking about, according to the view of the Rabbanan. Good idea, according to me. I feel Ilanosa Peros Nami Kotvizo Perio. Even a tree that makes fruits, the syrup is a fruit. But according to you, at least admit Ilan Shainosa Peros, that a tree that doesn't make fruits, Kotvizo Perio, the syrup would be a fruit. And Rabbanan Amri Lo, they say, we never think syrup is a fruit. Lo Shna, there's no difference. And they always hold that a syrup is considered a tree. It's not considered a fruit.